Okay, we're going to be in Luke chapter 2 this morning, so if you'll turn there, and when you find that, go ahead and stand. We'll read our text, Luke chapter 2. Our verses are verse 8 through 20, so we have a few verses that we need to read. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse number 8. Okay. All right. Having a hard time this morning. Okay, verse number 8. The Bible says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." By the way, that's the gospel, isn't it? That's the good news, the Savior Jesus Christ. Without him, there's no hope. Verse 12, "And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste." I like that. They came with haste. They had to see, didn't they? "And found Mary and Joseph, the babe, lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." But look at verse 19. "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." That's a key verse to understand what's happening in her heart. Verse 20, "And the shepherds returned and glorying, or rather, returned glorying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." This morning we're going to talk about keep going, and that'll make sense as we go along. Let's pray and we'll ask God to help us. Father, we need to hear from you, and so I pray for your guiding touch, not only in the message and the delivery and just everything that's said, that it would be right, but God, I pray for the hearts of your people this morning. I sense that we just need to hear from you, and so I pray you would do a work. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Have you ever thought that you, while you were doing something, you were in the process of doing it, and you're thinking while you're doing it, I don't think I'm doing this right. You ever done that? You ever had that? So I remember when the boys were babies, and I'm going to try to embarrass one of them because he's my oldest one. He was a baby, and there's a lot of funny stories I could tell you about that, but I'm going to tell them myself on this one. I hadn't changed a lot of diapers in my day, like in my life up until that point. I just haven't. And I hadn't even held a lot of babies. I was kind of nervous even to do that. And so I can't tell you like how many diapers I had like experience with up until this moment. Maybe a few. But I started to change his diaper and it just didn't seem like it was going right, you know? And Melissa wasn't there, and I always ask her, like, everything. So, you know, am I doing this right? You know? But she wasn't there, and so it was just me and him, and she trusted me with that. I don't know why, but... So what I had done is I was putting the diaper on backwards. And so the back part was on the front, and the front part was on the back. And you're like, how can you do that? I don't know. I just was doing it. And it seemed right at first, but then while I was trying to do it, you know, that Velcro part, I had to do it on the back, you know, It's supposed to be on the front, but I was doing it on the back. And I should have known then that I'm not doing this right. But I'm like, well, maybe I just was convinced that the front, the back part was the front. And so I'm like, I guess this diaper is strange from the other one. So I was Velcroing it, you know, so the straps were on the back side of him, you know, so I had to kind of turn him over to strap it. Does that make sense? So then I flipped him back and I'm like, yeah, it looks right now. Kind of a big front, but you know, he does wet himself a lot. So I was trying to embarrass him a little bit. So when Melissa got home, she just laughed for like a long time about it. So, and I don't even know if you remember that, but anyway, it did while I was doing it, I was thinking, I'm not sure I'm doing this right. You know, it's kind of that way in our life for God. I mean, when we live for the Lord and you start obeying Him, sometimes the things that God is leading us to do, it feels like while you're doing it, the opposite of what you're supposed to be doing. Like God says, I want you, listen to this. God says, love your enemies. What? You know, that in theory sounds like a really nice, great thing to do. But then whenever you start applying it to your life and you actually start trying to love, by the way, what does that look like? Well, he explained it a little bit in that passage. In Matthew, when he said, love your enemies, then he explained it a little bit. He said, do good to them that hurt you. You know, do good to them that speak falsely against you. So then when you start finding out, okay, so this is the people who hurt me, God says, I want you to do good to them. I want you to do good back to them. And still sounds good in theory. When Melissa and I were in the ministry years ago, we had been hurt emotionally, you know. We were trying to serve and do right, and somebody had said and done some things that really made it hard. And we were trying to deal with that with forgiveness, and we were trying not to let it become something that was hindering us. And through the process, this passage came to my mind, and I said this to Melissa. I don't know if you remember this, but I said, I think the Lord wants us to buy them a gift card. And she said, okay. So we went to a restaurant and we bought a $25 gift card, put it in a card, and gave it to somebody who had just hurt us deeply, you know. And that was hard to do. That was hard to do. But I knew it was what God wanted us to do. And so sometimes God says things and you know it's what God wants you to do. Well, while you're doing it, you're thinking, am I doing this right? This seems like backwards, you know? It feels like I'm doing this backwards. It feels like it should be the other way. God says, listen to what God says. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, kids, they don't understand that. They're like ready for gifts. They're ready to get. But I think that we're like that too sometimes. We forget that God says it's more blessed to give than to receive. The only way you'll understand it is to experience it. But the more you give, the harder it is. Sometimes we give with strings attached, don't we? I'm not accusing you of that. I'm just saying sometimes we do that. No, I'll give this, but I have kind of an expectation. You know, it's entirely different when you give and there's no strings attached. And God said, it's more blessed to do that, to give than to receive. And that feels the opposite sometimes. God says, humble yourself and He will lift you up. The opposite of what the world says. Respect your husband even when he's being sloppy or uncaring, you know. How about this? Love your wife even when she nags you all the time. You know, a couple of you guys, you're smiling, but you're not saying amen because you're wimps. No. All these things feel the opposite is what I'm saying. You might start saying, through the process, you might say things like this. Am I doing this right? But here's what the challenge is. God says He wants us to keep going. He wants us to keep doing the things, even when sometimes it feels like we're not doing the right thing. So So in our passage, what we have is God bringing affirmation to Mary and to Joseph that they were doing the right thing. They were on the right path. They were going the right way, and God wanted to bring that affirmation to them. One of the reasons Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke was to bring affirmation to Theophilus. If you read the first part of the book, it was written to a man named Theophilus, and it was to bring encouragement to him. Why? Because he lived in a tough time. He lived in a day when people were persecuted for their faith. He lived in a day if he lived his faith out in the open and people could know that he was a follower of Jesus, then there would have been kind of persecution against him. And we think of it as somebody today, we think of persecution as something like where people will make fun of you or they'll give you a hard time about something. But in Theophilus' day, that wasn't the case. It was much more extreme than that. He faced literal threats, or the potential of literal threats. I mean, that's what would have happened to Christians in Theophilus' day. They were literally persecuted, imprisoned, and beaten at times if they didn't recant against what they were standing for. And so Theophilus would have seen that, and he would have wondered, I think we can agree about this, he would have wondered, is the path that I'm on as being a follower of Jesus, is this the right path? Because there are a lot of people who are not for this. There are a lot of people who stand against the faith that Theophilus would have stood for. In fact, there would have been a lot more people against it than there were people who are for it. And that would have made him wonder. I think we feel that same way sometimes, where we see the sheer quantity of people who reject church and reject the gospel and reject Jesus and reject the Bible, and it makes us, just the quantity of people who stand firmly against the gospel would sometimes cause us to wonder about the truthfulness of it. And I'm not saying that you're here doubting this morning. I'm just saying that this is a reality. There was a little girl. She was 5 years old. She'd grown up in church all of her life. And she had only known church. Being in church when it was church time. We're going to be at church. And that's all she had known. She didn't think to complain about going to church because that was her life. And she enjoyed it. She loved it. It was her family, you know. And so she was at church on a Sunday, and while being there, she got sick on that particular Sunday, which rarely happened. And while there and sick, church was about to begin, and Grandma said, you know, I'll take her home. And she's sick, we'll take her home. So they gathered all their things together and said goodbye to Mom. She's going to go home. She's going to go to bed because she's sick, which totally makes sense, right? Grandma loads her up in the car, and they began on their journey home. And while driving home, this 5-year-old child looks out the window and she sees all these people. She sees people walking on the sides of the roads. She sees people in their cars driving. She sees kids on their bikes. And she makes an observation that I think only a 5-year-old could make. She looks at her grandma and she says, Grandma, are all these kids, are they going to church? And she had only known, her whole world was that, well, if it's Sunday, we're going to church. That's all she'd known. She couldn't comprehend that there was a world of people who didn't go to church. She didn't know that. And so when she said, Grandma, are these people going to go to church? Grandma looked at her and said, no, honey. Those people aren't going to be going to church today. And she stood stared, perplexed. And then she looked back at her grandma and she asked this question, Grandma, then how will they hear about Jesus? And Grandma didn't know how to answer that question. That's a good question, isn't it? Well, here's what I think happens sometimes in our life. Is we look out in the world, and do you know what we see? We see a lot of people in this world who have a lot better things to do than to be serving God. and giving their life to God. And I'm not saying that we understand that, nor do I say that we have some kind of an aura about us of being better than anyone else. And I'm not saying that we feel that way. But I think that sometimes we look out and we see a world that rejects or has no interest. And we wonder, because there's so few of us and there's so many of them, am I doing this right? Am I on the right path? I mean, there's a lot of people who reject this, and they believe that the Bible isn't the Word of God. They believe that this isn't the right, or they believe that we don't need this. So we might wonder, do we need this? Am I on the right path? Now, here's what we need to know about this tonight, or this morning. Mary was on the right path, okay? But she would have doubted through the series of circumstances that she was going through in this moment, in this episode. She would have wondered about what was happening. She would have seen what she was going through in these moments, and she would have wondered if she was doing it right. Now, why is that? Well, because her conditions weren't the best. She had been told that she's going to bear the Son of God. Remember? I mean, she was visited by the angel, and she was told that as a virgin, she would conceive and bear the child, the Son of God, Jesus. Well, and she received that message, and she embraced it, and she, in faith, moved in obedience to God. But then now, through this series of events, God orchestrated things, and now they're in Bethlehem, and here's how it works out. She's going to have a child in a stable. And that's where they are. They're in a stable where the animals live. And she's going to have a child there. Do you think it could be that when she's having this child in a stable, that maybe she's thinking, am I doing this right? Is this how it's supposed to be? And then she has the baby and she's wrapping him in swaddling clothes. The Bible says that. Now, why does that matter? Because we're not talking about a blanket that was prepared and crocheted, and it's from grandma, and it has his name embroidered on it, and it's been washed, and it's clean, like you would expect wrapping a baby in it. No, this is strips of cloth that you would have to, one at a time, wrap around the child. Interestingly, you can look it up, it was the same way they wrapped corpses before they put them in tombs. Jesus was wrapped with swaddling strips of cloth. And maybe while she's wrapping the cloth around the baby, she's wondering, is this the way that this is supposed to be? So then she gets him nice and snug and wrapped up, because you know how you wrap up the little ones, and she has this baby, and maybe she holds him for a little while, and she sees that glimmer in his eye, and she kisses him, and then she says this, now I need to find you a place to lay you down. And she lays him in a manger. Now you're thinking, well, that's precious. A manger. But here's what that word means. It means an animal feeding trough. Look it up. That's what it means. So she's done everything right. We know the story. She followed God. She's obeyed God. She's doing what God wants her to do. And now she's given birth to a child in a stable. She's wrapped him in swaddling clothes, strips of cloth. And she just now took her child, her newborn baby, and laid him in an animal feeding trough. And then she steps back and wonders, is this the way it's supposed to be? Am I doing this right? Just like whenever I was putting that diaper on. This didn't feel like this is going right. Well, God wants to affirm her, didn't he? Because she was doing it right. It might have felt like she was doing it wrong, but she was doing it right. And God wanted that affirmation in her. So he sent shepherds. Now, shepherds in Bible times were not different than like what you and I are today. I mean, just normal people, okay? They were the keepers of the sheep in Israel's history. At first, they were the honored, and then they became of less or lower status. I mean, there were some who said that the shepherds were kind of considered the degradation of society, and I don't believe that. I think they were just, they used to be held in high esteem or high, honor, but then it was just a lower status through the centuries. Now remember Abraham, he was a shepherd. Remember Moses, he was a shepherd. And, so the patriarchs of Israel's history, the great men of Israel's history, they were shepherds. But then cultivation of crops increased, and so shepherding fell lower on the social rung of status. And then farming, and that's why the Egyptians who were farmers saw the shepherds as hated, and they just saw them as lower class. But I love it that they were just normal people. Why? Because that's what we are, right? I mean, we're just normal people. Here's what that means, guys, that God isn't looking for somebody who has great ability, in the world. God isn't looking for somebody who has all of this talent. God isn't looking for somebody who just has all this wealth. No. He's looking just for normal people who will be willing to be used of God. And that's what the shepherds were. They would have been keeping night watch. And that's what it says in our passage, to protect the animals, the sheep, from the robbers and from any thieves or wild animals who would have come in to try to eat the sheep. And so what's happening in this instance, in this story, is you have this rotation of shepherds, which was usually like young boys or servants of the family or young men in the family, and they kept the sheep. But there was rotations that took place. So there were day rotations and night rotations, and whatever your rotation was, that's when you were watching the sheep. And it was the night rotation. It was a group of men who were out there. They were watching the sheep. They would have been sleeping out in the field with the sheep. And suddenly the Bible says a light from heaven shined down on them. It's called the Shekinah of God. I mean, it's the light of God, right? So, I mean, we know that when the light shows up, that God is there. You just study through the Bible. The light of God means the message of God is coming. We're going to hear from God. And so the light shines down, and the angel appears and begins to speak to these shepherds. Now, if it was you or me, right, like, and we're out in the field, and if we're imagining that we're watching sheep, and it's in the middle of the night, and a light shines directly on us, and with that light, you have the angel of God, and he's in your presence, wouldn't you be afraid? I mean, they were afraid. In fact, the Bible says they were sore afraid. Now, when you're afraid of something like that, what does that mean immediately is about to happen? It means you're about to run. I jumped in a backyard because a kid said, oh, he doesn't bite. That happened. Actually, unfortunately, it happened to me more than once, so I didn't learn from my mistakes on that very well. I don't know, I just always had this thing of trusting people, so, oh, he doesn't bite. Okay, so basketball went in the yard, jumped in over the fence, ran to get the ball, threw it over, dog was looking at me like, why are you in my backyard? This is my backyard, and you should not be in here. I mean, if he could talk, that's what he was saying. But he was doing it through his teeth. So anyway, he was growling, and then suddenly from the other side of this yard, this husky, which was a huge dog with very sharp teeth, I found out, was starting to chase me. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm out of here. I took off running, and I'm thinking, okay, so how am I going to do this? He's gaining on me fast. How am I going to do this? Am I just going to dive over the fence? In hindsight, 2020, right, should have dove. I was like, no, I don't think I'll make it. It was spiky at the top of the fence. What if I hit that? Ouch. So I think that would have been better. Anyway, so I was going to dive. All this is happening in my mind. Okay, so I'm going to do 1 foot over, right? I don't care if I fall on the other side, but I got to do the foot on the fence, right? Foot on the fence, foot on top of the fence, dog on my bottom. I mean, he all in. Four holes. So I didn't sit for a while. It was bad. I was mad at that guy. Dog doesn't bite, right? So I was out of there. I tried to get out of there. So the shepherds are being visited by an angel. They're about to take off running. It's about to happen. So immediately the angel says, "Fear not." So the implication there is don't run away. I don't want you to run away. Well, why doesn't he want them to run? Because he has a message for them. He has something he wants them to hear. He has something he wants them to do. So the angel visits, says, "Don't run." And then he says, "I've got a message for you." Look at verse number 12. The Bible said, well, let's back up a little bit. It says, verse 11. The angel came, verse 9. "The angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone around about them. They were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, 'Fear not. Behold, I bring you good tidings.'" So here's what the angel said. "I have a message for you. I have good tidings for you. I need you to deliver this message because there's somebody who needs to hear this message." So the Bible says that this news that they needed to deliver was this news about the Savior, Jesus. Now, let me just say something here. My message isn't primarily about the salvation that Jesus offers, but it's right there in the passage. And the message of the angels is that salvation comes through Christ. And we need to hear that. Why? Because we don't come into this world saved. We come into this, like Brother Chad said in his lesson, we come into this world needing to be saved. And if you're here this morning, and you've never turned your heart to Jesus, and I'm not talking about you've never done the works, you've never done the good deeds, you never tried to, you know, cross the T's, dot the I's, fill in the blanks, and do everything you're supposed to do to be accepted into heaven. I'm not saying you've done that. I'm saying that you have been touched by God in your heart. He says he convicted you, you knew you're a sinner, you knew you needed to be saved, and he offers salvation in Jesus. If you've never turned your heart in repentance to the Lord Jesus Christ, then you've not been born again. Because that's how you're born again. And so salvation this morning is offered through the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And it doesn't just come to you. It doesn't happen through religion or good deeds. It happens through a relationship that's established in your heart with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the message is that the Savior is born. The good tidings is the Savior is born. But the message that I have you to deliver is unorthodox, because what I want you to do is I want you to deliver the message that you were visited by God and told that the baby would be found in a what? In a stable. And you're going to deliver a message that the baby was right where he was supposed to be. And then when you get there, you're going to find a baby who had been wrapped in swaddling clothes. This is what the angel is telling the shepherds. Friends, why do they need to know this? Because they need to go to somebody who needs to know they're doing it right. And when you find this baby, he's going to be wrapped in swaddling clothes. And he's going to be lying in an animal feeding trough. And the shepherds are thinking, wait a second, this is the Son of God? This is the Savior of mankind? This is the hope of salvation to anyone who's lost? He's going to be in a stable, in a feeding trough? That doesn't sound right. They maybe would have thought that. In fact, we can imply through their response that they would have thought maybe this didn't seem right. Because they said, well, when the message was done, the angel said, but now I want you to read verse 12. "This shall be a sign unto you." Now, what is that? A sign means a proof. This is an evidence that this is right. This is the right thing. And so they're going to need to deliver this message. They're going to need to find the Savior. Look at verse 15. It says, "Let us now go and see." Later on in that verse, it says, "and see." Verse 16, "and they came with haste." They needed to go find out, is the baby the Savior in a stable? Is he wrapped in swaddling clothes? Is he lying in an animal feeding trough? I mean, we need to know if this is true. And when they got there, it was just how the angel said. And that was a blessing. Why? Because then what they did is they reported, wow, oh man, I love this. They reported to Joseph and Mary what the angel said. And the Bible says that everybody wondered. What does that mean? They marveled. They were in amazement. What God was doing. What was God doing? He was leading to this moment and then sending a man with a message from an angel to affirm that this was just the way God had meant it to be. And so they were in amazement. But what did Mary do? The Bible says she pondered it. Did you notice that? She pondered it. It says it in verse 19. Pondered. She kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The word pondered meant to come together, to bring together in one's mind. So it was like a come. It was like it was all coming together for her. She was piecing it together. You know what she was figuring out? I'm doing this the right way. I'm doing this right. You know what that also implies? She was doubting whether she was doing it right. She needed to be affirmed. You know why this is so helpful for us? Because we need to be affirmed too. I'm talking about you and me. We need affirmation too. Wasn't camp awesome, guys? Wouldn't you go back like tomorrow if we could? It's just a couple more days, right? How about camp for a week, school for a week? Camp for a week, school for a week. That'd be okay. So when we were at camp, I did sermons every day on the morning service, which was a lot of fun. We had Brother Chad and Brother Andrew Rodriguez, the youth pastor in St. Joe, Missouri. They did a skit every morning. And the first one, remember that? We showed you the video. Whoa. I did not see that coming. And then they ran into each other. Wasn't that the best? Wow. I mean, they did the chest bump, but somebody went flying. Anyway, I guess Brother Chad won that one, right? So they do this skit. It was like a guy who has an attitude and then a guy who has a too much excitement for God, I think, was the idea. And then it was a guy who was so focused on stuff that doesn't matter, like sports and athletics, and he came in and he was lifting weights. Yeah, I'm ready for camp, you know. And then the other guy came in with his video game and he had no Wi-Fi and was upset about it. And I'm telling you this because the last morning, the skit was different than all those. Those were just funny, you know, and to get our attention in there. But on the last day, Brother Chad was at the front, and the idea is that we're already back from camp. And Brother Andrew came slowly walking up to the front, sort of looking down with his hands in his pocket. And Brother Chad looked at him and said, "Hey, what's wrong?" And he says, "Well, I don't know. I made decisions at camp, but I haven't been keeping them." And Brother Chad says, "Oh man, tell me about it." So I just don't think I can do it. I don't think I can do this. I don't think I can keep this stuff, you know. Brother Chad says, "Oh, that's not true." So no, I don't think I'm gonna keep going anymore. I think I'm going to quit. Now, whenever I do this, he says to Brother Chad, he says, "I don't want you to come looking for me. I'm done." And it was like he threw in the towel, you know? Remember that? It's like he threw in the towel and he says, I'm going to go out and I'm going to do this. I can't do it for the Lord. It's too much. I can't do it." But Chad's, "No! You can do this. You just need to stay. You need to keep going." He's trying to get him to stay as he's walking away. This morning, you might feel like this is kind of hard. You might feel like standing for God and living for Him is a little bit challenging. And those feelings like that because it's hard, that you can't keep doing it. Now, I want to show you something. Where did he go? There he is. what happens is the world gets in our minds. I'm talking about the philosophies, the thinking, the ways of the world. I mean, when we're living for God and we're making decisions for God and we're committing ourselves to God, He leads us down a very specific path. And when we're on that path, sometimes we don't have a lot of people with us on that path. And sometimes when we're on God's path, in fact, often when we're on God's path and we're doing what God wants us to do, there's a lot of people who aren't on that path. And they don't have an interest in that path. And they say things to us about what we're doing for God that, like this. You know what you're doing? Is you're wasting your time. You give money to the church. You give how much money to the church? Do you know what you're doing? Is you are wasting your money. Here's what the world says. The world says when you give to God and you give as God's leading you to give, they're saying, here's what you're doing with your money. That's what you're doing. The world says that. And wants to make you feel like there's a waste there. You go to church how much? You spend how much time at church? You go to how many services? You do all, man, you know what you're doing is you're wasting your time. All that time you could be doing something else. And a lot of people do something else, don't they? You're wasting your time. The world says, you know what you're doing, guys? You make a decision to live for the Lord. Let me cover this up so you can't see it. You see through it. Yeah. You live for the Lord, you make a decision. I'll do this. There we go. And you're gonna serve Him. And by the way, these boys, aren't they a blessing? Amen. I mean, they make decisions for God and want to live for the Lord. And I think most of these guys, if not all of them, they made decisions already. I want to live my life for God, you know? I want to live my life for the Lord. Now, what does that imply? It implies a lot of things that we don't know. And when you're young and you make a decision to give your life to God, and here's what you're saying, this is an adventure. Because I don't know what the future is going to be like, but I trust God that God's future is going to be better than what I can come up with. And so they give their life to God. I'm going to give my life to serve the Lord. And by the way, we all need to do that, don't we? But you know what the world says? When you give your life to God, the world says it's a wasted life. The world says that. I know that this happens because I did it. The world says that what I'm doing right now is a wasted life. This is what you're doing with your life if you give yourself to the Lord. The world says that. And you know what? We don't believe that, do we?
No, sir.
No, we don't believe that. But when you hear it over and over and over again, and you just keep seeing it out there, and you see how the world's living, and you see what they're doing, the people that are around us, it starts to make us wonder, I think, sometimes. And we feel like, am I doing this right? I know that I'm doing the things that God wants me to do, but is this the right way to do it? The flesh wants us to think that it's too hard. Why? Well, because we mess up a lot, don't we? We mess up a lot. And this is where we get our... It's not the world telling us this. This is what you tell yourself. And the devil likes to get this in your head too, doesn't he? You know what? You can't keep doing this. You kind of mess up a lot. I mean, you're sort of a mess up, right? I mean, the devil tells us that, and we tell ourselves that. And by the way, it's true. I mean, we mess up a lot, right? It's like, well, I can't keep going with this. You know, I mess up a lot. It's too hard. I think I'm done. Yeah, we'll get there. Our minds, our flesh tells us that. Yeah. God can't use me. I'm too bad. The world also wants us to think that God's ways are the opposite. You know, I think it was Brother Tim, you and I were talking about this, that there was some kind of a video that was given, first made, and there's a bunch of them out there. I don't go looking for this stuff, but sometimes it just pops up. And there was a video that was made, and it was explaining about how science has now figured out where our soul goes or what happens after we die, which is insane. Yeah, right. But I also saw this video, Why Evolution is True, you know, and it was this video on that. You know, whenever you believe the Bible, that means God created everything, right? Man. In 6 days.
Yes, sir.
Evolution isn't true. God didn't use evolution to bring about the universe and our existence the way it is. But when you believe it, what does the world say that what we believe is hogwash? The world says that. There's another one. The world says that what we believe is lies. And we hear those things. And I think sometimes it gets in our mind and we wonder, am I really on the right path? Am I doing this right? Like at camp when Brother Andrew was walking away and Brother Chad was saying, don't go, don't quit, keep going. You are on the right road. The world says it's a waste. Our flesh says we're not good enough. Our flesh says the devil wants to remind us of our sins and that we make mistakes. And then we try to tell ourselves, I can't do this, and we don't want to keep going anymore. Or the world tries to get involved and tells us that God's way isn't the right way and we're on the wrong path. But God wants us to know that we are on the right path and you are doing it the right way. And when you believe the Bible and when you study the Bible, you're on the right road doing the right thing. This is what God wants us to have, a confidence, so that we can know not only that we're doing the right thing, but so that we'll keep going. This morning, listen, God wants you to know that you're doing it right. He wants you to know that. So when you're following the Lord, and maybe it feels like what you're doing isn't the right thing, God wants to affirm to you that you can trust Him. You just need to keep going. You need to keep going. Now, I'm not saying this morning that anybody's been tempted to quit or throw in the towel or not keep going. But you can be affirmed that as you follow the Lord, that you are on the right path and that you can keep going. And that's what God wants to have us to have this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. It might be that this morning there is somebody who doesn't know about their eternal destiny. They don't know about salvation, if they're saved or not. I pray you bring a conviction to them that they would understand their need of salvation before it's too late. That they would be convicted and touched. Lord, it might be that somebody this morning has been struggling with just being faithful and consistent and staying true to what you're teaching. And so I pray that you'd give them courage just to keep going, please. Thank you for the grace that you give us and the affirmation that you give us in your word. It's a blessing and we need it. So I pray for your help this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Every head's bowed.